This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for hosting me tonight. I just landed from a planet called New York City. And, you know, it's not easy being in the Golos, but if you have to be in exile, Florida is not a bad place. So, this evening we're going to speak about a very important theme that streams through Parshas Lech Lecha Vayera on this week's Parsha, Parshas Chayesara. And it seems like there are two individuals throughout Sefer Bereishis that they've both performed the same exact act. One of them gets off scot-free and the other one is severely reprimanded. And that is, let's analyze tonight the difference between the reactions of Avraham and Sarah Imenu when they were told the wonderful news, the great Basura, that they were going to have a child. When Hashem came to Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, and Avram Avinu at the time is 99 years old, Hashem tells Avraham, you know, you're going to have a child. Vayipol Avraham al panav vayitzchak. Avraham fell on his face, and he laughed. Vayomer b'libay. He says to himself, halaven me'ah shana yivaled. I'm going to have a kid at 100 years old. Vim Sarah havas tishim shana teled. Sarah's going to have a child at 90? So Avraham Avinu, he laughs. He hears the word of God. He hears Ribbono Shel Olam speaking to him, and he laughed it off. And yet, in the next parsha, in Parshas Vayera, where Sarah Imenu heard the exact same thing, but this time, she didn't even hear it from Hashem. She heard it from Malachim, who she thought were just regular Arabs. What is Sarah Imenu's reaction? Vatitzchak Sarah bekirba leimar. Sarah laughs. Acharei veloisi hoiseli edna. After I'm all worn out, I'm going to become smooth again. And even more than that, Vadoini Zokain. My master, my husband, he's too old. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Lama zeh tzachaka Sarah. Could you imagine the audacity of the lady? Why did Sarah laugh? Leimar to say, Ha'af umnam elei vani zakanti. Can I have a child? Hashem says, Ha'ipalei me Hashem damar. Is anything withheld from God? Next year, this time, Sarah will have a child. So Avram Avinu laughs and God tells him nothing. Sarah Imenu laughs and God remonstrates with Sarah. Why? They had the exact same reaction. Why is Avram Avinu not criticized and Sarah is criticized? So I'm sure we're all familiar. Rashi on the spot picks up on this and Rashi simply says, look in the Targum. You have to know that the word laughter, Vayitzchak or Vatitzchak, is translated by Unklus differently in the two contexts. When it comes to Avraham, the Pasuk says, Unafal Avraham al Apoyi, where it says, Vayipal Avraham al Panav, Targum says, Unafal Avraham al Apoyi, Vachadi, what does Vachadi mean? Vachadi, like Gila, Rina, Ditzave, Chedva, he rejoiced. Vachadi, Vayitzchak, he laughed in happiness, in joy. He was happy that he heard the news. But by Sarah, V'chaicha Sarah, Sarah laughed incredulously. Avraham laughed out of joy. So here we have the answer. It's very simple. Avraham Avinu was so overjoyed to hear the news of Vachadi. He rejoiced. He had emuna that would happen. He therefore rejoiced merely hearing the report from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Sarah Imenu, she laughed. She was in disbelief. So now we understand, Avraham is not criticized, Sarah is criticized. But friends, the question is, who told the Targum that the same exact word means something entirely different in these two different situations? It's the same word, Vayitzchak, Vatitzchak. Who told the Targum? You know, it reminds me, the Gemara says that when the Isha HaShunamis came to Elisha, it says she realized he was the man of God. He was an Ishalikim. So the Gemara says, how did she know he was the man of God? Says the Gemara, because the flies didn't go near Elisha. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks, okay, that's how she knew. But how did the flies know? Same thing. I understand Targum is saying one place it means Vachadi, and in another place it means Vachaychas. But how does the Targum know? How does Rashi know? So one of the main operating principles of Rashi, Rashi says in Paragimel, Pasuk Ches, Va'ani Laibasi Ela Lepshutoi Shel Mikra. I've only come to explain the simple meaning of, not the word, but the whole Pasuk, the Mikra, the Pasuk. You see, the context of these two psukim is critical. Who's Avram Avinu talking to? He's talking to God. In the presence of Hashem, when God tells him he's going to have a child, Avram's going to laugh? Heaven forbid Avram would laugh in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the context of Avram speaking to Hashem, obviously the Targum translates, Vayitzchak, he laughed in joy, in emunah, in happiness. Sarah, on the other hand, she's hiding behind the tent. She's not speaking to God. She's hearing it from the angels. So there it's appropriate to translate the word, v'chaychas, she laughed in disbelief. But what I would like to do tonight is, although I'm sure you are familiar with what Rashi says, I want to share with you a total of four amazing approaches to deal with this question. One approach is textual, what we just learned. One approach is halachic, that we're about to learn, or lamdus. One is pedagogical, and one is mystical. Okay, let's start now with the halachic approach. I want to share with you something, a very important principle in Emunah. If a prophet comes and delivers a prophecy, that, I don't know if you guys here in Florida are going to like this, but in within the next 10 days, all Jews in New York are going to move to South Florida. Let's say the prophet would come and say that. You're good with that? If you already own, then you're good. If you're renting, you're not good. Let's say the prophet would come and say a prophecy of doom and gloom, and it doesn't come true. Does that demonstrate he's a false prophet? No. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to Perash HaMishnayis and in the Shemayna Prakim that if a prophet says prophecy of doom and gloom and it does not come true, it does not necessarily demonstrate he's a false prophet. What if God comes and tells the prophet that something bad will happen? Does it have to happen? No. Why? You could always repent. You could always mend your ways. You could always do better. And therefore, prophecy of negativity does not have to come to fruition. What if God comes to a prophet and says, hey, go to 7-Eleven, buy the third lotto ticket, pick these numbers, you're going to win. And the guy goes, he scratches off, and he doesn't win the lottery. Does it have to happen? If God says a prophecy will occur of good, of taiva, does it have to happen? I used to think yes. The Rambam says no, doesn't have to happen. If God tells it, you know why? Things could change. Maybe the prophet will sin, and he's no longer deserving of the fruition of the prophecy. But if the prophet comes to shul, and he gives a clap on the bima, and he says, the first I heard, Koyamar Hashem, Zacharti lach chesenu raich, go to 7-Eleven, the first three people to buy the lottery ticket will win. If they don't win, what do we do with the prophet? We kill him. Why? Once the prophet says prophecy, it must come true, says the Rambam. Otherwise, we have no way to verify and to authenticate prophecy. The way we authenticate prophecy is we tell the prophet, prophecy is something good that God said. Once he says it, it must come true. Okay? So says the Meshech Chachma, throughout his commentary to the Chumash, at least in four or five places, the Meshech Chachma utilizes this principle to explain various stories in the Chumash. Says the Meshech Chachma, herein lies the difference between Avraham and Sarah. God came to Avraham. He said, Avraham, you're going to have a kid. And Avraham laughed in utter disbelief. What do you mean? Where's his emunah? He believed he could have a child, but he didn't believe he would ultimately be deserving of the child. So even though God told him he would, maybe it wouldn't come true. Avraham is not criticized for laughter, because just because God told him something will happen, it is not certain that it will happen. But Sarah, who did she hear the prophecy from? Says the Meshech Chachma. You know, it's very interesting. Says the Meshech Chachma, if you look at the end of Lech Lecha, God told Avraham, you know your wife Sarah? That's not her name anymore. Yeah, I'm sorry, her name is not Sarai. From now on, her name is Sarah. And she's going to have a child. Says the Meshech Chachma, presumably, Avraham Avinu delivered the prophecy to Sarah. She told her, from now on, you're not Sarai. From now on, you're Sarah. And you're going to have a child. So Sarah heard it from the prophet. If Sarah heard it from the prophet, it has to come true. If it doesn't come true, then Avraham's a Navi Sheker. Says the Meshech Chachma, Avraham was allowed to laugh because he heard it from God. Just because he heard it from God, it may or it may not come true. Avraham is not criticized for laughing. But Sarah Imenu heard it from the Navi Hashem. Once Avraham Avinu relays the prophecy, it must come true. Therefore, Sarah is criticized. How could you laugh? Once the prophet told it to you, it must come true. That's how the Meshech Chachma explains the difference between Hashem's reaction to Avraham and to Sarah. It's very interesting. Throughout his commentary to Chumash, the Meshech Chachma utilizes this principle to explain many interesting things. For example, remember Pinchas? So Pinchas takes his sword, he kills Cozbi, he kills Zimri, and Hashem wants to reward Pinchas that he's going to live forever. He's going to have, all the Kaihanim Gedolim are going to come from him. So Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Moshe, Lachain Amar, Hineni Noisein Lai Esprisi Shalom. Lachain, what's the next word? Amar. Go tell him. Go deliver to Pinchas all of these good things that are going to happen to him. So the Meshech Chachma asks, why is God giving Moshe Rabbeinu the job to tell Pinchas? What was Pinchas? What did he do for a living? He was also a Navi. If Hashem wants to reward Pinchas, the Ribbono Shel Olam should tell Pinchas himself. Why is Hashem telling Moshe to tell Pinchas? Says the Meshech Chachma, because if God would come straight to Pinchas and say, you're going to be rewarded, it may or it may not come to be. But once Hashem tells Moshe, go tell Pinchas, take it to the bank. It has to be. Because once the Navi says it, we have a principle. That's the way to verify the Nevuah of Hashem. These are a few examples of where the Meshech Chachma utilizes this principle. Now let's come to family politics, your favorite situation. Okay? Now, when it comes to family politics, you could tell anything to your kids. You know that. You could tell them, come on, this is how you drive, this is how you deal with your finances, this is what time you come to shul. You could tell your kids off. Your in-law kids, no. You can't tell them anything. You know that. There's nothing you could tell them. Rav Miller would say, in-law kids, the only thing you could give them is money and kavod. That's it. No advice. No criticism. Only money and kavod. So what does a mother do if her daughter-in-law is just, you know, not up to par? Now, you know, between us, it happens sometimes. Your daughter could do no. Your daughter is perfect, of course. But the daughter-in-law, come on. Where did he find her? You know? So what do you do if you have to tell off the daughter-in-law? So there's an expression in Yiddish. You ever hear this? Diret su der tachter, aber der menter schneer. You tell off your daughter, but you don't mean the daughter. You mean the daughter-in-law. What you do is you scream at your daughter, but you make sure your daughter-in-law is listening. That's what time you put your kids to sleep? Now the daughter has them in bed at 6 p.m. It's the daughter-in-law where the kids are running around at 9:30 every night. But you yell at the daughter-in-law, you don't mean the daughter-in-law. You don't mean the daughter. You yell at the daughter, you mean your daughter-in-law. Says the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni is one of the very interesting Rishonim on Chumash. The Chizkuni, we virtually know nothing about the life of the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni quotes from 20 different Rishonim. What's interesting is the Chizkuni does not quote his sources. He says, I'm not telling you if Rashi says this, Ibn Ezra says this, if the Rashbam says this, because once I start name dropping, then you're going to say, oh, Rashi says it? Okay, I'll accept it. But if he says it, I don't accept it. No, says the Chizkuni, I want you to accept what I'm telling you based on its content value alone. How are we doing? Based on its content, I don't need it. Based on its content value alone. So the Chizkuni says like this. You know, whenever you need to criticize someone, it's interesting. There was one of the great mashgichim, who's a student of Slabodka. His name was Rav Meir Chadash. And he had very innovative approaches to chinuch. So one time there was a boy in the yeshiva, they didn't let Bachrim hitch rides. Okay, it's considered dangerous. It was considered... So one time the mashgiach calls Rav Meir Chadash. He says, come to the corner. Yankel, you see him on the corner? He's waiting to hitch a ride. Okay, so Rav Meir Chadash looks. He takes it in. He makes a note. Yankel was hitching a ride. So the mashgiach says to him, okay, you're going to call him out? He said, of course I'm not going to call him out. Listen to this rule. I know what I know. He doesn't need to know that I know. And Rav Meir Chadash would say that this is a rule when it comes to parenting in general. They don't need to know everything that you know. Sometimes it's better if they don't know that you know. And he would say as follows. Once somebody knows that you think they did the wrong thing, they have nothing to lose by repeating it, because in their mind, they've already ruined their reputation for you. They already think you don't think highly of them. So they, why not do it again and again? They have nothing to lose. But if in their mind you don't know, then maybe next time they won't do it again, because they could still, they have what to lose if they repeat doing the sin again. So Rav Meir Chadash would say, it's not always necessary to let them know what you know. And he would say even more. Sometimes, if you need to reprimand somebody, it's always better to do it underhandedly. And that is exactly what Hashem is doing by reprimanding Avraham. Hashem comes to Avraham. You know who he's upset with? Avraham. You know why he's upset with Avraham? Because Avraham laughed. He should have had emunah. But God would not come to Avraham and say, hey, Avraham, why'd you laugh? Because then Avraham would feel that Hashem looks down on him and doesn't think highly of him. And then maybe the next time he won't have emunah either. So Hashem brilliantly comes to Avraham and say, hey, Avraham, why'd she laugh? And Avraham thinks to himself, oh boy, you know, the truth is, I also laughed. I probably shouldn't have laughed. So Avraham made sure that day, you know, to do a quick tshuva for laughing, but he didn't feel demoralized that Hashem called him out on it. So the Chizkuni says something very interesting, that the fact of the matter is that the Ribbono Shel not is not reprimanding Sarah. If anything, he's reprimanding Avraham. But Hashem is utilizing the principle. If you want to reprimand the daughter-in-law, you reprimand your daughter and you refer to the daughter-in-law. Okay, friends, so that's what we call a pedagogical approach. Now I want you to fasten your seatbelts, because this fourth approach is really off the charts. Very unusual. This fourth approach does not come from a Rishon. It doesn't come from an Achrayin. It doesn't come from a Rosh Hashiva. It doesn't even come from a man. It comes from a Rebbetzin. Okay? So you say, we bring in a rabbi from Brooklyn to Deerfield Beach to tell what a Rebbetzin says? Yeah. This is the insight of the mother-in-law of Rebbe Yashiv, the grandmother of Rebbetzin Knievsky, Rebbetzin Aryeh Levin. Okay, you ever hear of a tzaddik in our time, Rabbi Aryeh Levin? Well, he brings a few short divrei Torah from his Rebbetzin. And this one, I have to say, is off the charts. And it's based on a story that happened in the Nevi'im with the son of the Isha HaShunamis. We all know the story of the Isha HaShunamis. She was waiting for a child. The prophet promised her a child. And sure enough, she had a baby. And the Navi tells us in Malachim Beis, Parak Dalet, Psukim Yotes through Chavav, that one day the child wasn't feeling well. And the child cried out. He was working with his father. Vayomer al Aviv, Roishi, Roishi, my head, my head. So he tells his workers, carry the child to the mother. So they carry the child to the mother. And the child rests on the mother. And the child died. So the woman took the child. She laid him to rest on the bed of the prophet. She closes the door and she sends word to her husband, you know, I need to go to the Navi, I need to go to the Navi. And famously, her husband says, why do you need to go to the Navi? It's not Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov, it's not Rosh Chodesh. Is everything okay? What does she say? One word. Shalom. Hakol b'seder. She goes running to Elisha. Gehazi sees her. He runs to her. He says, is everything okay with your husband, with your family, with your child? And what does she say? One word. Shalom, it's all good. What's wrong with this lady? Her son died. She's going to the Navi because she needs the Navi to resurrect the child. Why would she respond when asked, is everything okay? Her husband says, is everything okay? She says, yes, wonderful. The Navi says, is everything okay? She says, wonderful. It's not true. Why did she say that? Says the Rebbetzin of Rav Aryeh Levin. This woman needed something that was nothing short of a miracle. She needed the Ribbon Shel Olam to change nature, to resurrect the child. If she would articulate the words that the kid is dead, if her husband would ask, how's everything? And she would say, I don't know, he's dead. If the Navi would say, is everything okay? And she would say, he's dead. No miracle could happen. She killed the miracle. Once she verbalizes, the child is dead, nature can no longer change. It's fait accompli, it's finished. Nature can't change. She verbalized it. She articulated. He's dead. Finished. You see, for a miracle to occur, it has to come down from under the Kisei HaKavod and trickle down through the various Olamos, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. And as it's trickling down, it needs to materialize down here in this earthly world. If she would say the words, the child is dead, the miracle will dissipate. So the husband says, everything okay? She says, everything is great. The Navi says, is everything okay? She says, everything is wonderful. Says the Rebbetzin of Rav Aryeh Levin, this is the difference between Avraham and Sarah. They both laughed. But what does the Pasuk say? Vayipal Avraham, Vayitzchak, Vayoymer Beliboy. He only thought it was a joke. But Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba Lamar. She said it. Achare Beloisi Hoysaliedna Vadoin Yizake. She said, it's impossible. Impossible? You said it's impossible? Then it's impossible. Then it can't happen. Sarah, you killed it. You ruined it. The miracle was about to come down to this world and you were about to conceive and you said, it's not happening. So it didn't happen. And the Ribbono Shel Olam remonstrated with Sarah, why'd you do that? So you'll ask, what do you mean? But it did happen. That's why Hashem has to respond to Sarah, "Hey Sarah, you said it's impossible. Hayipole me Hashem davar. You think anything's impossible? You ruined the first miracle. Now I have to decree a second time you're going to have a child." That's the approach of the Rebbetzin of Rabbi Arye Levin. The difference between Abraham and Sarah is Abraham thought it. Okay. It was seemed pretty impossible, pretty unlikely, pretty remote. He thought it. He's off the hook. But she said it? She said it's not happening? You ruined it. Now let's come to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, it's bitter. You know, Vayiyu, the Arachayim HaKadosh says, usually by Tzadikim it says, Vayichi, Vayichi, they lived, they lived, they lived. And by Sarah it's Vayiyu, it's like Vay, it's sad, it's painful. Indeed it was painful. Why was it painful? We all know that Sarah's death is juxtaposed to Akedas Yitzchak. She died when she heard that Avraham took her only son, brought him up to the Akedah, and she didn't really hear the ending. She thought maybe her husband took his life. Friends, I want to ask you a question. Did you ever hear in your entire life a more bitter way to die? This must be the most brutal and agonizing death in the history of the world. For a mother to hear that her husband killed her son, and it didn't even happen. It was a fabrication, never happened. What a bitter pill to swallow. What a bitter pill that Sarah had to die thinking falsehood. You understand what happened here? She was duped by an angel. The Malach came and said, you know, Sarah said, what's going on? So the angel said, you wouldn't believe it. You heard what happened on Har Moriah? Your husband took your only son. He took a big shechita knife and he was about to shecht him. And according to Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Yitzchak actually died and then he was resurrected. And she died thinking her only son was killed by her husband. What a bitter way to die. And this question is raised by a very rare Rishayin. The name of the sefer is Paneach Raza. Paneach Raza is a Rishayin. The words Paneach Raza means the one who deciphers secrets. He uncovers many of the mysteries and the Kabbalistic secrets of the Torah. He asks, why should Sarah have to die being fooled by the Satan? You ready for this? He says something astounding. One of the most amazing things I've ever heard. Says, he quotes the father of Yehuda HaChassid. She died, mida kinegen mida, quid pro quo, measure for measure. In the beginning of the parsha, the angel came to tell her a report. The report was she was going to have a child. Was it a true report or a false report? It was a true report. Did she believe it or she denied it? She denied it. Sarah, you're not believing the truth? You don't believe the truth? You're going to suffer the indignity that you're going to believe falsehood. The angel is going to come and say that Avraham shechted your son and you're going to accept the bitter pill that your son was shechted. If you don't believe the truth, you have to suffer the indignity of believing lies. That's the Paneach Raza. The Chassam Sofer himself comes and the Chassam Sofer quotes the Paneach Raza verbatim. And then the Chassam Sofer adds four words that in my mind are the most mind-boggling words in all the writing of the Chassam Sofer. Take a look. It's the last source on your sheet, number 14. Says the Chassam Sofer, V'davar gadol diber hanavi, the prophet has spoken the truth. Which prophet? He's quoting Paneach Raza. He's saying this insight into why Sarah died, because she didn't accept the report of the Malach, and therefore she suffered the indignity that she believed the Satan when the Satan said that her husband killed Yitzchak. This is nothing short of prophecy. V'davar gadol dibar anavi. The prophet has spoken great words. This insight is prophetic. And all the students of the Chasam Sofer wonder, what is the prophecy here? Why are these such important words? Why was the Chasam Sofer so moved by this insight of the Panei Akraza? And the students of the Chasam Sofer say, because the Chasam Sofer lived in the times of the advent of reform. And people would ask him, you know, maybe there's something to it. Maybe that's legitimate. And the Chasam Sofer would explain, you're not bothered, you're not astounded that people could think that that's a Shabbos, that this is what Shabbos looks like, that Shabbos is a day off, but you could do malacha? That could people actually believe that kashrus is just health advice? And if nowadays the food is boiled and hygienic, then you could eat food that's not kosher? How could anyone subscribe or actually believe in this fabricated form of Judaism? How do people believe blatant lies? Plagiarized, fabricated Judaism? And the Chasam Sofer would point to this insight of Panei Akraza, that the verdict of history is that when we don't accept the truth, then the verdict is somehow you're going to end up believing in blatant lies. And that's how historically there have been different movements and break-offs from traditional Judaism, and you wonder, does anyone actually believe in that? People think that that has meaning to it? What kind of brand is that? How could an honest person actually subscribe to that? And the answer is, it's a punishment. The punishment is, when you don't accept the truth, you have to swallow the great indignity of believing lies. And I think this could be applied to the times that we live in. And you look around the world, and you look at the challenges that we face in this country, and the kind of falsehoods and narratives that the media spins about the Jewish community, about Eretz Yisrael, and you wonder, how can intelligent people actually accept that, believe that, promote that, disseminate that? I mean, they're human beings. They were given a seichel. How do they believe that? And the answer is, it's a heaven-sent punishment. This is the great teaching of Panei Akraza, that we have a choice to make in this world. We're exposed to the truths of Sinai. We're exposed to the truths of the Torah. And we're given the ability to choose whether we accept the MS, the MS La'amitai, because if you don't accept the truth, the verdict of history is you're going to swallow the bitter pill of believing outright lies. I want to end off by sharing with you the Chafetz Chaim's take on the story of Abraham and Sarah. And I want to thank Mr. Horowitz for... What? Dr. Horowitz. Well, I'm going to do that again. I want to thank Dr. Horowitz for arranging this evening, for giving me the privilege to be here in Young Israel, Deerfield Beach. Thank you very much. Dr. Horowitz has been trying to make this happen for quite a while. And thank you for your wife for getting us here, and to Reb Heshi Weiss and Mrs. Hertzka for sponsoring tonight, and all my good friends. Thank you very much. And I want to share with you the Chafetz Chaim's take on this particular story. The Chafetz Chaim, in a letter, Rabbi Hirsch, right? Thank you, Shkayach. The Chafetz Chaim, in a letter, says that, you know, he wondered his entire life why the Torah even records the story of Abraham and Sarah. You think it's a kavod for the Jewish people that we have this story recorded here, that Hashem sent angels to tell Sarah she's going to have a child, and Sarah doesn't believe it. She laughs. Why would the Torah record that? It's not an honor to her. It's not an honor to our people. It doesn't do us any good. It's like TMI. You know what TMI is? It's too much information over here. What do I need to know that Sarah laughed? Just say, the Malach came to Avram. The Malach told Avram, you're going to have a kid. And they had a kid. I need to know Sarah laughed. And by the way, you know, like everyone's laying it on to Sarah. So when Sarah laughed, Hashem came to Avraham and say, why did she laugh? Okay, if you want to write she laughed, write she laughed. But now we also have to write that Hashem complained to Avraham that your wife laughed. But the story continues. Avraham then goes to Sarah and says, why'd you laugh? Why'd you do that? And Sarah talks back to him. Sarah says, I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you always accusing me of laughing? I didn't laugh. And you know, the story doesn't end. Because it says, Vayomer loy ki tzachak. Avram said, no, you did laugh. This is way too much. I mean, you know, who recorded this? Why do I need to know this? Hashem tells Avram, why'd she laugh? Avram goes to her, why'd you laugh? Once she said, I didn't laugh, I need to know that he said, no, actually, you're a liar. And by the way, the Netziv writes that those final words, no, you laughed, are not the words of Avraham. They're the words of God. God came back. No, you laughed. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I wondered and I wondered why the Torah reports and records the story until finally it dawned on me that this is the story of the Jewish people in 2025. He doesn't quote the date, but I'm just adding that. Because the day will come very soon that the Geula will come for the Jewish people and the Mashiach will come. And by the way, the Chida writes, the first four words of Parshas Chayisara, Vayiyu Chaye Sara Mea, is Rosh Tevois Mashiach. So you'll ask, but it's not. I knew you might ask that question. The Chida says we don't count the Vav. The Vav is what we call Vav Shimushis. It's just and. So we look at it like it's a Yud. So, Yiyu Chaye Sara Mea, Mashiach. The day will come. Mashiach will come. And Hashem's going to say, were you waiting for him? And we say, yeah, of course we were waiting for him. Achak Eloi B'chol Yom Sheyavai. Every day we said the Animamins and we had in mind, we're waiting for Mashiach. Kili Shuazcha Kivinu Kayam. We're waiting, yeah, we were waiting. And Hashem's going to say, why do you laugh? Why do you laugh? You weren't really waiting. You were waiting. You were eagerly anticipating his arrival. Did you really think he would come? And we're going to say, yeah, every Tisha B'Av, we fasted. We really thought he was coming. And Hashem's going to say, no, you didn't. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the story of Avraham and Sarah is a wake-up call that when that great day comes very soon, we're going to have to face the question, were you laughing? Were you really waiting for it? Were you actively anticipating his coming? You know, my grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was a Holocaust survivor. He passed away recently at 106 years old. He was one of the last Talmidim of Rabbi Nachum Zemba. He would say that every day in Auschwitz, he believed be'emunah shelema that Mashiach was coming on that day. He waited for Mashiach like you order something on Amazon and they say it's coming Monday or Tuesday and the doorbell rings. That's how he waited for Mashiach. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this story is to remind us that when we daven every day and we say V'lushalayim Ircha and we say Esemach David and we say Ritzeh and we say all the prayers awaiting the coming of Mashiach, we need to engender a real desire for it so that when the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us, were you laughing? We're going to say, actually not. We weren't laughing. We were really waiting for it. Sarah taught us, when you came to Sarah and you said, why'd you laugh? We learned the lesson from it. We're really waiting for it. Be'ezus Hashem, may we be zaycha to see that great day very soon. B'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.